Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as you remember, Paul addresses the first of many problems in the Corinthian church. And the first problem that he takes up is one of divisions, one of cliques. And he has some interesting things to say about that and some interesting facts, some interesting truths to emphasize so that these people will realize the foolishness of their divisive spirit. And the divisive spirit is basically a jockeying for position and prominence. I am of Paul. Well, I am of Apollos. Well, I am of Cephas. And this trying to make yourself important by your association with one of these famous preachers, and trying to pit one preacher against another to make the one that you are most identified with to be the most prominent one, and trying to therefore elevate him and you by your association with him to a position of prominence over the others. And don't you see what this is jockeying for position in the church, just like people in the world jockey for position in society. And Paul said that's not the way that the church is to operate. That's not the way that God designed the church. God designed the church to operate without those kinds of rivalries and jockeying for position. Christ had to deal with that from time to time with his own apostles. They would be arguing with one another along the way as to who was the most important, who had the highest position, and Jesus would rebuke them for it, or a couple of the disciples would come to Jesus and kind of call him aside so the others wouldn't hear and say, now, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, how about let's have an agreement now that I serve on your right hand and my brother serves on your left. In other words, let's get an advance agreement here that we're going to be in the highest position. Let's get that taken care of now, because there's this jockeying for position. Who's going to be the most important in the kingdom? Kingdoms mean a place of ruling, a place of reigning, a place of prominence in society, a place of court. The king has a court, and the people who serve in his court are always the most important people in society. Now, we believe you are the king of Israel, and you've told us that we're going to reign with you, so we're now jockeying for position in your court. And Jesus said, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And he called the little child unto them and said, let me show you that in order to become great in my kingdom, you've got to become like a little child. It's not this trying to elevate yourself. It's actually intentionally lowering yourself, taking the lowly place, becoming servant to the others, entirely upside down and opposite of the way the world is. But you see, it takes us a long time to learn these lessons. And Paul is addressing that problem in the Corinthian church. And I pause to welcome you to this Thursday, April 29 edition of the Beacon broadcast, and to thank you for the financial help which we need in order to continue teaching God's Word on this radio station. So Paul says that's not the way it is. And he said there's two things that tell us that. Number one is the message of the gospel itself. It is not impressive to the world. To the Jews who seek a sign, it's not impressive. To the Greeks who seek after wisdom, it's not impressive. But to those who are called among the Jews and the Greeks, it is the power of God. It is wonderfully powerful. It is wonderfully impressive. It is gloriously impressive. But somehow the world is never impressed by the gospel unless the Holy Spirit causes them to be impressed by it, brings them into the family of God by His work. And so the gospel itself is by design a very simplistic message that does not impress the world. Don't you realize that God doesn't intend for His people to be impressive in the world? So stop acting like worldlings as you're jockeying for prestige in the church. And then the second thing that Paul points out is that the very nature of the church is that by God's design, it's made up of unimpressive people. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But he goes on in verse 27 to say, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Don't you understand that in God's kingdom, we are not made prominent by our prestige as it's measured in worldly ways? Take a good look at yourself and what you were before you were saved. Take a good look around in the church and see how many important people are there, which tells us that it's not only foolish, but it's sinful when, number one, we get all excited about somebody who has come into our church, maybe he's visiting, maybe he's actually joined our church, who's prominent and wealthy in the community, and we somehow think that that's really big stuff. That's really important, far more important than that blue-collar worker who became a part of our church more recently. That's not all that significant. But now look, this millionaire, that doesn't happen very often, does it? But this millionaire has become a part of our church. La-de-da, ta-ta-ta, woos-be-doo. And Paul is saying, cut that out. That means nothing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there aren't many like that. Just a few, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. The church is not organized the way the world organizes things. The church is not influential in the world either, because God designed it that way. When you make a big deal about some influential person in society who becomes a part of the church, what you are assuming is that this will make our church more influential in the community. This will make people pay more attention to our church. Well, look at them. So-and-so has become a member of that church. That must be an influential church. That must be important people. Nope. We are, but not in the eyes of the world, and God has designed it that way. It is true that these categories, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, are not all inclusive. There are some. But these initial categories are not determinative. Some who are lowly, when they're saved, become more significant in time because grace changes them and enables them. It makes the drunkard sober. It makes the lazy man willing to work. It corrects a lot of the problems that keep people from rising in society. And so it's actually true that the grace of God and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who are saved over time often makes them more successful in the world than they ever would have become if they hadn't become a Christian. And so there may be people in the church who become relatively successful as the world measures it. But that's not what is important, and that's not what's impressive as far as God is concerned. These categories, the wise, the mighty, the noble, are so important to the world, but they're not to God. And they should not be to God's people. That's the idea here. The things which elevate people in the world are, number one, not what brings people to God. And what the world views as the church's weakness, that there aren't many influential people there, Paul considers to be its strength. The things which elevate people in the world are not that which brings people to God. It's not education, and it's not educated people. It's not influence in society. It's not important positions in society. It's not because we have people in our church who are the rulers and leaders in society, the mayor, the chairman of the board of governors in the whatever. Those important things as far as the world looks at it. Ah, look at that. Ah, look at that. Ah, look at that. And that'll impress people when they realize there are people like that in our church. Then they're going to be more open to the gospel. That's why we foolishly many times try to parade sports heroes who make a profession of faith, who call themselves Christians, and we parade them before the world instead of much more godly, mature Christians, but ones who are just lowly, don't have this aura about them, don't have this position of prominence as far as the world looks at it. And so how many times have we been stung by that? I still remember probably 40 years ago, 30 at least now, when my wife told me that one of her friends who lived in another state had gotten all excited because it had been reported that a certain movie star, which I will not name, had become a Christian. And, oh boy, that's going to influence a lot of people. Not. And by the way, that movie star just went on in the same kind of Hollywood lifestyle that most movie stars had, showed no evidence of being a Christian at all. Only in by profession, but certainly not evidencing it in her life. But here we go. I went some years ago to a meeting to hear a famous athlete who has had a Christian testimony, to hear him speak, and actually I went away favorably impressed. I think he's one Christian athlete who is really genuine and godly. And I'm thankful that he has that platform upon which to speak truth and to call attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope he will stay humble and not get the big head. But that really doesn't make the gospel any more successful. It's a foolish, backwards, ungodly, worldly way of thinking that causes us to imagine that it would. It's not that way. The things which elevate people in the world are not what brings people to God. And the church's lowliness is actually its strength. That's what Paul is telling us here, and we need to learn that. Well, we'll have to return to it later. So tomorrow, we'll come back at the same time in the same place. I hope you'll join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.